It's our pleasure for you to be with us today. We have visitors among us. We thank you for coming and urge you to get your Bible and read along with us. The wise man in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, beginning, talked about six things the Lord doth hate. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You might take note of the fact that he talks about the tongue and the hands, the heart, and you think about how that along this time of the year, a lot of people have a checkup of some kind. Maybe toward the end of the year, they begin to go to the doctor and get things checked out. Have you thought about the importance of having a spiritual checkup? You know, the Bible teaches the need to do that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 when Paul said, examine yourselves. That's what we want to do today. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at everybody else. We kind of want to put them under a microscope. But you and I need to look into the pages of the mirror of God's Word and see ourselves from God's perspective. And make whatever changes we might need to make that we might be in a proper state, in good spiritual health. And I want to take advantage of this opportunity to talk to us about some things we might take a look at. The first thing, as you think about a spiritual checkup, you and I would do well to examine our hearts. It's critical that we check the heart. You know, the Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16 and verse 7, that the Lord looks upon the heart. How long has it been since you had a heart exam? And there are lots of tests that might be performed to see the state or the condition of one's physical heart, right? You might undergo a stress test. You might have an EKG or an echocardiogram or any number of things that might set forth the condition of the heart. But I'm not talking about this blood pump, though it's important. I'm thinking about the Bible heart, and it's up here. It's the mind. It's that part of man that thinks and reasons. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And in chapter 23 and verse 7, he declared, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I recall reading in Acts 8, after Simon obeyed the gospel, how his heart was not right in the sight of God. He thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And Peter said, thy money perish with thee, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And he was told to do two things about his heart. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. How about your heart today? My heart. Is our heart right with God? In the book of Mark, in chapter 7, I read where the Lord talks about some heart diseases. You know, there are a lot of different conditions or diseases of one's physical heart, but those kind of pale in comparison to the description of diseases the Bible talks about in reference to the heart. In the book of Mark, chapter 7, and in verse 20. The Lord said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceed. What proceeds from the heart, Lord? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. If I don't undergo a spiritual checkup and check my heart from time to time, it's possible that some of these diseases could infiltrate my heart and cause my heart to be unhealthy. But let me suggest to us along this line that the Bible teaches the need for our hearts to be pure. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 8, the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Peter wrote about the purification of the heart or the soul in in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 22. He says, seeing you have purified your souls. How'd they do that, Peter? In obeying the truth. There's no way your heart or your soul will be pure without obedience to the truth. We believe from the heart, Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth. And obedience comes from the heart, as Paul said in Romans 6:17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed. Obeyed from where? The heart. That form of doctrine which was delivered you. And so as you examine yourself today, how's your heart from a spiritual standpoint? Is your heart right with God? But as you undergo a little checkup, let me suggest to us there's another thing that we need to take a look at. And that is we need to have our eyes checked. Maybe you go to the eye doctor and you undergo a little exam. He checks your vision to see how you're doing. If you're nearsighted or farsighted. Or if you have some kind of astigmatism. And he may undergo some tests. Dilate your eyes and he looks in there to see if there's any kind of diseases. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 13:16, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And he taught the importance of an eye exam in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, when he declared, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. One of the problems that we face today is the lust of the eyes. 1 John 2 and in verse 16. And as you read your Bible, you'll find that there are a lot of different diseases of the eyes from a spiritual standpoint. The Bible talks about those having eyes full of adultery in 2 Peter 2 and in verse 14. In 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, Peter talks about blindness. There are some who are blind spiritually. They cannot see. Notice in 2 Peter 1 and in verse 5 when Peter urged first century Christians to add to their faith, and he talked about those virtues, those graces to be added. And he said in verse 8, if these things be in you, he talked about the blessings. But then he said in verse 9, if you lack these things, here's the consequences. You're blind and cannot see afar off. The Bible talks about an offending eye. If your eye offend you, remember? Mark chapter 9, 47 and 48. He said, plug it out. Now, he doesn't teach us to mutilate ourselves, to literally take your eye out, but to cut off those things that would be temptations to us that come through the eyes. He talked about closed eyes. You know, some have a problem with their eyes being closed. They're closed to the truth. They're closed-minded. They've stopped their ears, they've closed their eyes, and they're uninterested in obeying the truth. In Matthew 13 and verse 15, Jesus said, this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes. You know, it's hard to talk to somebody. It's hard to get through to somebody who's closed their eyes. About impossible, isn't it? That doesn't describe any of us, does it? We need to examine our eyes to make sure that they are healthy. Our eyes need to be lifted up from time to time. The Lord said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white to harvest, in John 4 and in verse 35. But not only is the heart and the eyes mentioned, the Bible talks about the fact that our hands need to be examined. How long has it been since you had your hands looked at? You've tested your hands. You know, much reference is made to the virtuous woman's hands in the book of Proverbs in chapter 31. She's quite a woman, and every woman would do well to read her story, to read her description in Proverbs 31. And just take your little highlighter or pen or pencil and circle every time her hands are mentioned. Like verse 13. She worketh willingly with her hands. Again in verse 16. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And then verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. I got to thinking about the kind of hands that you and I need to have. Have you thought about the fact the Bible addresses your hands and the use of your hands? We need hands that are strong. 2 Samuel 2 and verse 7. We need busy hands. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. We need working hands. Remember, Paul said, work with your hands the thing which is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28. We need praying hands. 1 Timothy 2:8. Lift up your hands in prayer unto God, the Bible talks about. We need clean hands. The Bible says, cleanse your hands in the book of James in chapter 4 and in verse 8. As you look at your hands in light of what the Bible teaches, how's your hands today? But then another area that we might want to take a look at as we undergo a spiritual checkup is to look at our feet. Have you looked at your feet lately? You know, there are some who have feet that are swift to run to mischief, and God hates that. Proverbs 6 and in verse 18. Does the Bible talk about feet that are beautiful? It does. In the book of Romans, in chapter 10, the apostle said in verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The feet of gospel preachers are beautiful. And in Ephesians 6 and verse 15, our feet need to be shod with something, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's part of putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand and withstand. We're not fully adorned with God's armor if our feet aren't properly shod. Have you looked at your feet to see if they're shod? To make sure they're not swift in running into the wrong directions. But then another area that we want to look at today, we need to talk about the tongue. You might go to a doctor for a physical checkup and he might say, stick out your tongue. Right? The tongue's an indicator of spiritual health. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12 and in verse 18, wise Solomon talked about that, and he had much to say about the mouth and the tongue. In Proverbs 12 and 18, he declared, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You know, the tongue can be used for good, but it can also be used for lots of evil, can't it? In Psalm 45 and 1, the Bible says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. In Proverbs 18 and 21, the Bible records, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 21:23 teaches, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. If there's one chapter you might read to think about your tongue, it would be James chapter 3, wouldn't it? When James put a lot of emphasis on the tongue, he talked about the size, how it's small in comparison to other members of the body. But yet it has mammoth power. He said in verse 3, we put bits in the horse's mouth. You think about a little bit and how it controls that horse to make him go forward or backwards or to turn right or to the left. The helm of a ship, very small. Maybe you have an opportunity to board a ship and to tour the various parts of that. See how enormous a vessel that might be. And you go into the captain's room and you see the little helm and how that turns about, controls that ship. And the tongue as a little member, boasteth great things. James 3 and verse 5. It's a fire, a world of iniquity. And it doesn't take but just a little spark, maybe a match, just to start a blazing fire. He talked about the fact that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so we need to be careful as to the use that is made of the tongue, because how I use it or fail to control it can impact my religion. Did you know that your religion can be vain? That'd be a tragedy, wouldn't it? You know, some people think that it doesn't make any difference what religion you profess, that one's just as good as another. Let me ask you, is vain religion as good as pure religion? In James 1 and in 26 and 27, James said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That is, it's empty. It's worthless. But pure religion, that's the kind I want. What about you? And he talked about it involves visiting fatherless and widows and keeping himself unspotted from the world. That's important. And so, next time you meet up with somebody who thinks that one religion is just as good as another, ask, what about vain religion? Is that as valuable? Is that as profitable, you think, as pure religion? And the thing that would cause one's religion to be vain is by not bridling the tongue, not controlling it. In 1 Peter 3 and 10, Peter talked about he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You know, the tongue can commit lots of sins. You might think a sin is something that you do, but you can also sin by what you say or how you say it. And you might think of some sins of the tongue, like gossip or tale-bearing. Slander, it's a bad one, isn't it? Lying, it's a real problem. It's been around for a long time. Ananias and Sapphira lied. And remember what happened to them? They died and they were buried because of lying. God doesn't like that. He expects us to speak the truth. Honesty is the best policy. And you think of cursing, the sin of flattery. The Bible talks about the sin of just speaking too much. Do you know you can talk too much? You know anybody like that? Just on and on and on and on. One lady talked so much she developed double chin. One took over when the other wore out. And her husband passed away, and the fella doing the funeral asked the boy, said, did your daddy have any final words, any last words? Said, no, mama was with him right to the end. And so some people are that way, and we ought not be that way. You know how a fool's voice is known? Through the multitude of words. The Bible recommends that we just let our words be few. I think that'd be a good compliment, wouldn't it? That he's a person of few words, or she's of few words. And so, have you checked your tongue? But let me suggest to us another area that we might want to look at. And that is our weight. Have you thought about your weight? You ever step on the scales and check your weight to see where you stand? You know, a doctor will do that, won't he? You go in for the visit, have your checkup, and that's usually the first place they take you in. Put you on the scales. Well, how much do you weigh? Don't answer that out loud now. But from a spiritual standpoint, have you thought about how much you weigh? Did you know that one of these days God's going to weigh all of us? We're going to be weighed in the balances. I recall reading a story in Daniel 5 about that, where a man was told that he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. God's going to weigh us on the great scales one of these days, as the book of Proverbs 16 and 2 talks about. The Lord weigheth the spirits. And I need to make sure from a spiritual standpoint that I'm not underweight. And that I'm not overweight either. That I hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. Let me look at another area. Have you thought about your temperature? Have you checked your temperature lately? You know, they might give you a little thermometer and stick it in under your tongue. They have different ways of doing that, I understand, but that's how it was done when I was younger. Give you a little thermometer, stick it under your tongue, and we still do that, don't we? Doctors still make use of that, and you'll take your temperature. It's an indicator of your health, isn't it? Sometimes you can be too hot or too cold, right? Maybe you're running a fever. You know, the Bible talks about our temperature from a spiritual standpoint as Christians in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Listen to these words. Under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. These folks were the wrong temperature. They were lukewarm. And that was distasteful to the Lord. He spewed them out of his mouth. We need to be hot for the Lord. We need to be zealous. You know, in the book of Titus 2 and 14, the Lord has purchased us to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And in 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul said, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why, Paul? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One other area, number 8. What about your ears? Have you had your ears checked? The doctor will often look in and get that little device out and take a look in those ears, right? To check. How about from a spiritual standpoint? Do you have itching ears? In 2 Timothy 4 and 3, Paul talks about itching ears. You know, there are those who will not hear the truth. They have itching ears. They want to hear something other than the truth. And there are some who do not hear. Mark 8 and verse 18. They've stopped their ears. They've shut their ears. They're kind of like those in Acts 7. Who, when Stephen was preaching the truth, they stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it. In Mark 4 and 24, the Bible says, take heed what you hear. I've got to be careful as to what I hear. Not everything I hear is true. Right? And you think about things that come to the ears. They do that through maybe the music that we listen to. Right? That's important. Think about things you hear. Maybe friends are telling you. Maybe you got some bad friends giving you bad advice. Take heed what you hear. And the Bible says, take heed how you hear. Luke 8, verse 18. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Remember James talked about that in James 1? Those that look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, they're the ones that are blessed. But they're those who are forgetful hearers. They hear, they forget what manner of man, and they go their way. Like a man that looks in the mirror and he sees himself and he forgets what he sees and he goes. In Romans 10 and 17, Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I need to examine my ears, my temperature, my weight, tongue, feet, hands, eyes, and heart to make sure that I'm spiritually healthy. People see the importance and the value of having a checkup from time to time to make sure they're in good physical health. And when you have those checkups, early detection is often a good thing, right? You have that exam done. That way, if there's something that is in the early stages, it can be taken care of and remedied and treated. And if we go for very long periods of time without examining ourselves from a spiritual standpoint, we can easily have diseases and unhealthy situations arise, and we need to detect those early. And should I find upon examination that there's some changes that need to be made, there's some things that are amiss, that I'll have the courage and the conviction to make my life right with God, to apply the divine medicine. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. And should you be among this audience and have not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to come to the great physician who can make you whole, who can forgive all your sins, put them far behind, as far as the east is from the west, and make you spiritually whole. Would you come having heard the word, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, to confess your faith? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We'll be glad to baptize you. It's an immersion in water for the remission of sins that puts you into the body of Christ. Maybe you already obeyed the gospel. You become a Christian, a child of God, and examining yourself, you find that you've made some mistakes, you've sinned, you've gotten sidetracked, you've become distracted. You see some conditions that are unhealthy, that you don't like, and you see where that's going, you see where that's going to take you, and you want to change that. You want to repent of that. You want the prayers of the church to help you. We'll be glad to do that as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?